Hi everyone, this is Diederik. Welcome to the Agents of Conscious Business course. Welcome back to this third live call, the live call where we'll be unpacking module 3, which was titled Plugging Your Organization into Evolution, and the class for which was taught by Brian Robertson. So I'm really excited to be here again with you today. I'm a little foggy. I had a molar pulled yesterday, and I'm still noticing the effects, but excited to be here with you. I'm sure we'll be fine. Look forward to diving in and hearing more about what you've taken from the call. So as always today, in a minute, I'll start with a quick poll to just get a sense of who has been able to listen to the recording. That should give me a good sense of how fast we will be able to go today. And very quickly cover some of the big ideas of the class to either refresh your memory or, if you haven't been able to listen to the class, at least get a sense of what this call today will be about. And from there, as quickly as possible, go into a breakout group to allow you to start talking to each other. And I've got some cool questions lined up for you. I also look forward to hearing the highlights of those different conversations from you. And we'll go for about an hour overall and then take another 30 minutes at the end for more open discussion, or as I've started calling it, hanging out in the cafe. So let's start with a quick poll of who's been able to listen to this class's recording with Brian. If you have been able to listen to it, just press 1 on your handset or your dial pad. And if you have not been able to or not yet, just press 2. Again, that should give me a sense of how fast we can move today. And while I wait for those results to come in, briefly to frame this call, last week we spent some time unpacking the class with Brett Thomas about integral leadership. This week, the module for this week is quite different. It's not so much about leadership and how you as an individual can motivate or influence others. It's really, in a way, about the limits of leadership. Because, of course, leadership is very important to get things done, and yet, as soon as we show up in an organization, there are also limits to leadership, and there's only so much that you can do, particularly in larger organizations, but probably in every type of organization. And this is something that Brian Robertson has given a lot of thought way back from when he started as an entrepreneur, building his own company, trying out different ways of organizing that, and then in the end developing what is now called Holacracy, which is what he calls an operating system for the organization. And while Holacracy is somewhat out of the scope for this course, because it's really about the organization as a whole, and this course is about practicing conscious business individually, starting where you are, we did find that we could take a lot of kind of nuggets and elements of Holacracy and apply them. So that's what we'll be diving into today. I can see that most of you have been able to listen to the recording with Brian, so that's great. Before we dive in, I would love to maybe hear from one or two of you just a gut reaction, a first reaction, having listened to the recording. I think, I mean, in a way, this was more of a little bit of an abstract topic. It was a lot about tensions, sensing tensions, which we'll get into shortly. And I would really love to get a sense of what you've taken from it or what your gut reaction to listening was. And if you want to share, just again, press 1, and then I'll be able to hand you a mic so you can just quickly share with us. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just a brief gut reaction will be fine. So just press 1 if you can share that. And to start with, let's hear from Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I was struck by listening to the call, wondering, the notion of tension just struck me as a bit abstract. I mean, I get the definition, but you know, continuing to refer to, you know, dealing with one person's tension until it was completed, I was still yearning for a few examples of what a tension might represent.
Yes, thank you. That makes a lot of sense. And I'd love for some other people to share some gut reactions. Just press one if you can. And while I'm waiting for that, maybe I can briefly share my own experience of that, Jane. Because waking up the workplace uses holacracy and therefore uses this language of tensions a lot. One of the things which to me is quite different when I talk about attention from, for example, an issue or a problem is that it's neutral. It's a neutral language. It's not judging the experience of some gap between where I am now and where I think or feel that we could be. It's not judging that experience as being bad or good, as being either a problem or an opportunity. It's basically just noticing it as energy, which is really what attention refers to. And it can be really anything. It can be very small. For example, if I'm just kind of tuning in as I'm speaking into my own body, my own experience right now, a small tension that I can feel is that, as I was just mentioning, I feel a little foggy, possibly from having that motor pulled or whatever. And I'm feeling that maybe that might impact the clarity which I can host the call today. That is a physical tension that I can feel. It's kind of a small sensation of fear in the belly. It's not overwhelming, but it is a real experience. It's not just a thought. So that's kind of one very small example of something that we could then process into, you know, what do I need? How could we work with that? Of course, much bigger tensions could be any type of constraints towards achieving the purpose of our organization or our team. So they could include, hey, we've lost two really important clients. I'm sensing a real tension about that, and we need to process that. So I'm not sure if that's helpful at all, Jane.
Yeah, thank you.
Great, cool. Okay, maybe before we start, let me hear from one more people, one more person to get a sense of your gut reaction to today's call. Let's hear from Sharona. Hi.
Hi there. Well, my sense about it, and I've tried to dig into holacracy even a little beyond what was in this call, is that it's really an operating system for an organization that's already achieved a certain level of development. I don't know if Brian would say that was true or if that's your experience, but yet just the mere ability to sense tensions with the discernment that seems to be asked for here is a fairly developed skill. And to have the structure that that is, by its very definition, relatively unstructured, and I know he has certain meta structures in there, just simply would not work in a whole lot of instances. I'm wondering if that's your take on it as well.
I lost you a little bit at the end there, but I think I got the gist of what you were saying about an organization needing to be at a certain level of development and probably for the people to have a certain level of discernment. I would say that that helps a lot, and yet I don't think that it's entirely necessary, that you can still put in place some of the structures that invite that, and of course you will be playing the game at a lower level of development. It's like playing soccer with, let's say, 8-year-olds as opposed to maybe 16-year-olds, and yet I think you can still play the game. The outcomes might be somewhat different, but it would recognizably be soccer, or in this case, holacracy. So those are my thoughts. And I also just want to mention that I think that will do as kind of gut reactions. It gives me a sense of the questions that came up I want to make sure that we quickly get into some breakout groups so that you can start sharing some of this together. And then from there, possibly we'll have some more questions and we'll go into that. In some ways, I might be able to share my thoughts because I've been practicing Holacracy for a number of years. And yes, I also want to make sure that I'm really hosting you guys in this conversation and so that you can share and offer your thoughts on this. So maybe to start, let's briefly revisit some of the big ideas that were covered in this call. And we've already started to talk about what is probably the key idea, which is the idea of sensing and processing tensions. And as we've said, a tension is just the experience, the physical experience of a gap between where we are now and where we could be in an organization, a team, a business, whatever. That tension is basically, it's merely energy. It's a gap between current reality and a potential reality. And that energy can be used, but it can only be used if we sense it, if we register it. For example, you can have a certain tension in your body, but just not pick up on it. So that's the first step, registering it, sensing it. And then as you're becoming aware of it, to hold it so that you can then process it and see, okay, what does this mean? And why am I feeling this? What's beneath this? What is this pointing towards? And particularly for the organization, how can we evolve the organization in maybe very small ways or in very significant ways so that we can move closer to that felt potential? And I think the link here with the topic of conscious business is that really when you want to create a conscious business, then that would be a business where any tension, small or big, that is being sensed by anyone, not just the leader or the CEO or the really developed or the very smart people, but anyone in the organization, can be processed rapidly and reliably into some forward step, some organizational evolution. I think that would, in a way, be a conscious business, a business that is really able to fully harness the consciousness of everyone that shows up in it. And an example of how that's often not the case is that often while we're all sensing tensions, as soon as we show up in an organization, we fill a role and immediately we start feeling this is working out, but hey, what about this? You're starting to immediately scan your environment and your experience, and things will show up. Those are tensions. And sometimes other people don't agree or they don't register the same tensions because they're somehow tuned into other aspects of reality. They may be more task-oriented, whereas you're feeling a tension that's more in the relational space, to just give one example. And if that person happens to be a colleague or even your boss, it may mean that you will get outvoted or that people don't share your opinion, and we move on. We say, well, it's not too important. Maybe you bring up this issue all the time and people feel that it's kind of your thing, and we gloss over it and we move on. So that's an example of your consciousness and you being a sensor not being fully used or being fully harnessed by the organization, which means that basically that there are certain data points that you're tuning into that are not being fully leveraged in the ongoing evolution of the organization. So that's a question that Brian often asks himself, and that I really enjoy. It's a really interesting question, which is, if you look at yourself as being a sensor for tensions in an organization that you show up in, are you being well used as a sensor? And what gets in the way? And in the class for this call, Brian mentioned a number of things that can get in the way of sensing and processing tensions or fully harnessing the consciousness of everyone that shows up in the organization. And one of the key things, which I think is particularly interesting given last week's topics of leadership, one of the key things that get in the way is exactly that, is leadership. and specifically what Ryan calls heroic leaderships, which means I'm trying to sense and process as many tensions as possible for the organization, not just mine, but maybe yours and all of our teams. And because I'm so smart and so heroic, I'll just try to analyze all of it, get as much information as possible, and then make kind of a perfect, complete decision that will move the organization forwards in leaps and bounds rather than incremental steps. That means that I'm basically the opportunity for the organization to sense and process tensions, to use us as sensors, is being limited by me, because I'm trying to do it. It's being centralized to me rather than using in all of our ability to be sensors. And some of the other things that get in the way are, for example, spending a lot of time talking about theoretical tensions rather than real felt tensions. And the difference there is that it's not so much an experience of a gap, but it's more a thought or concept of a gap. And if you think about this, I'm sure that you could think up a lot of theoretical problems or tensions for your organizations. Many of them might happen in the future if such and such happens, but really it's not an actual felt or real tension right now. And you can waste a lot of time in meetings particularly talking about these kinds of things. And then finally, the perspective that Brian offered was sensing tensions and processing them is like removing constraints towards the natural unfolding of the purpose of the team or of the organization. So the assumption there is that all you basically need to do is get out of the way, and then the organization will start moving naturally, evolving towards its purpose. And the way that you do that, the way that you get out of the way, is by sensing tensions and removing constraints. Rather than trying to push and pull and force the organization forwards from mind and from theoretical tensions, you actually only need to listen. And in a way, it's quite relaxed. You can almost lean back and just wait for tensions to show up as experiences and then process them to remove constraints. So it's really a different stance, I think, is the word that Brian used, which in a way makes this topic and this call a little bit more abstract. And yet, from our experience working with this, we've also noticed that it can be very transforming. And it's something that's quite similar to getting things done and to the module of David Allen, which we'll be covering in a couple of weeks. I think it's module 7. I think you'll find that will kind of dovetail this module very nicely. And maybe in some ways make it a bit more real and tangible, because whereas this module is all about the organization processing tensions, using the individuals as sensors, module 7 is going to really focus on you processing tensions individually. So I think that'll help. Let's see, any of the other big ideas? Well, there were a few things. One of the really kind of tips almost that Brian gave is in meetings, and that meetings can actually be the place rather than something that you dread and that takes forever and that doesn't get very much done, that meetings can be a place where you can actually see the organization evolve in real time, which is kind of a fascinating or much more interesting perspective on meetings than we're used to. And one of the ways that you can transform meetings into something quite productive and into live organizational evolution is by paying a bit more attention to this process of sensing and processing tensions, and particularly by using one principle, which is to really only process one tension at a time as sensed by one person. So rather than saying, I think we should talk about the client that we just lost, and everyone jumps in and offering their perspectives of how they're sensing that tension, we would just process that tension as I'm sensing it, and then maybe move on to the next person and take turns, so that you can make sure that you're really only working with the tension as it is being sensed by one person, rather than trying to resolve some kind of blob of related tensions, which becomes very theoretical very quickly. Now, of course, if you've been listening to the call and maybe you've been looking at the workbook, you've already seen a lot of that, so don't want to spend too much time there. I'm noticing getting somewhat carried away. Maybe this is a good time to actually do the first breakout group and to start doing some sharing. And then from there, I'd love to hear some further thoughts, and we can continue from there. So for the first breakout groups, and I think everyone on this call, as far as I can see, has had some experience now with these breakout groups, so I won't spend a lot of time introducing them. In a minute, after I've given you the question, I'll put you into those breakout groups, and you'll hear a chime, and then you can just announce yourself to the others in the group, and you'll have about 3 minutes each. We'll take about 10 minutes overall to discuss this question. I know it's not a lot of time, but I want to make sure that we can do a bit more. And then, of course, at the end, we'll have more unstructured time as well. So my suggestion for the first breakout group is to dig into your own experience. If you imagine that you are a sensor for an organization, and it might really help if you just pick one. Maybe you're part of more than one organization. Maybe you can even look at your family as being an organization, but just pick one team, one organization that you show up in. And then imagine being a sensor for that organization, meaning that as soon as you walk in the door, virtually or physically, you start registering, you start experiencing gaps between how things currently are and how they could be. Now, the question I'd like you to consider and to briefly discuss is, as that sensor, how well are you being used? Maybe you can think a little bit about in what ways or what aspects of your consciousness, of your being a sensor, are being used, and which ones are less used or not at all. So how well are you being used in your organization? And secondly, what gets in the way for you? So I'll quickly create some breakout groups. There'll be some groups of three and one of four. And as soon as you hear the chime, just announce yourself and then start discussing how well are you being used as a sensor and what gets in the way. Welcome back, everyone, in the main room. I'd love to hear from a few of you what you talked about. The question was, how well, as a sensor in your organization, how well are you being used? Are you being used very well? Is almost all of what you're sensing being used by the organization to move forwards, or only a portion, or maybe a large portion, small portion? And also, what gets in the way? So looking forward to hear from a few of you before we kind of build on that in the next breakout group. So if you want to share, as always, just press 1. So I can hand you a mic. So how well are you being used and what gets in the way? Just press 1 if you want to share, and we'll start with Ariel. Hi, Ariel.
Hi, how are you doing, other than the molar?
Other than the molar.
Okay. Nice. Well, I was talking with my group about a meeting that I had as far as my experience recently, which was I definitely feel that I'm recently been well used as far as bringing up something in a meeting specifically that we'd had a whole meeting without talking about exactly what we came there to talk about, which was what we were going to be doing in this, you know, huge training in a few weeks. And I was amazed that we could go 3 hours or 2 hours or whatever it was without actually talking about exactly what we were going to do. We were talking about how it would look and how we should feel and how we should act, but we never actually got down to exactly what we were doing, and I felt the whole room sigh when I did it. And what actually gets in the way often, if I'm understanding the question properly, of me being a sensor or actually having anything happen with that is myself, actually, which is getting up the nerve to state what no one else is stating when it seems like the thing that should be, it's so obvious. You know, it's that doubt of, am I crazy? This seems like such an important thing, and the room is silent. And I would say in the past, I probably before, you know, Conscious Business won the first round, I might not have said something because I might have just thought, okay, maybe I'm just overreacting and not listening to my intuition or my sensing tension in the room. So that made a really big difference in the meeting for me. I just wanted to share that because it was an effect of the last course.
Nice. Thank you. And it reminds me of this metaphor that Brian likes to use of flying a plane, or it's actually for him a metaphor. Having all these different sensors, literally, in the cockpit, one of which all of a sudden starts blinking and doing something red or orange, which isn't good, and talking about how every sensor, you know, both literally in a cockpit, but also as you tuned in to different information, to a different field of information. One sensor may be tuned in to the altitude of the plane, another to the fuel, another to the voltage level, etc. And that's your example of, you know, you were sensing something, you were tuning into something that either everyone else was not tuning into, or they were, but they weren't saying it. And what often happens is that we feel, like you said, you know, am I crazy? I'm the voltage light here. I really think that something is wrong with the voltage, but no one else is saying anything. The altitude meter isn't saying anything. The fuel meter isn't saying anything. So I must be crazy. I'll just shut up. And, you know, of course, you know, we'll crash the plane. So I really love his metaphor around it. And also, in a way, I think that perspective can give courage to really realize that all of us are tuning into different information, and that's, for an organization to really evolve towards its purpose, it's going to need, at the very least, some of the really key critical perspectives and fields of information represented. And many times, actually it will need the perspectives and capacity to sense of all of us to really go there, particularly in a crisis time. So I love that. Thank you. And I'm also noticing time is running pretty quickly today. So I just want to, you know, build on that and move on into the next breakout. And then after that, we'll take a little bit more time to reflect and to share. So we'll go through the same drill, some different groups again. So when you hear the chime, you will be able to announce yourself. Again, groups of three, about 10 minutes. This time, though, with a different question. And the question that I'd like you to think about here is, how do you get in the way of others sensing and processing their tensions? So in a way, that's a little bit more personal. So I'd like you to think not just about what gets in the way of you being a good sensor, but how do you get in the way of other people sensing and particularly voicing and processing tensions. So when you get a chime, just announce yourself. We'll take another 10 minutes and then some debriefing. Enjoy. So welcome back, everyone. As always, I was going from room to room, seeing if everything was all right and listening to some of the themes. And well, first I'd like to hear from you guys, and I just press one to share. It would be nice to hear. This question, of course, was a little bit more personal because this was about how you are getting in the way of others sensing and processing tensions. And it sounded like some interesting stuff came up, some stuff I'd love to go into, but first it would be nice to hear what you took from that, or how you are getting in the way of others processing their tensions. not all at once, please, which is a fun way of saying I'm not seeing lots of raised hands. So don't be shy, particularly if you haven't done that before. If you feel comfortable speaking in your small group, then try out the main room. It's not that scary. I think that helped. Lovely. Let's start with Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hello. Well, for me, I notice that what gets in my way is first when I'm not conscious and when I haven't set an intention to, before going into a meeting, for example, to participate in a particular way or to set an intention to, be aware of these techniques that we just are talking about. When I'm just kind of jumping into a meeting and reacting without thought, that's when it tends to really not be that effective. When I raise my own level of consciousness to how I want to participate and how I want to hold space for others, it tends to work better.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really a key piece here. Thank you for sharing that. That's why I think at first, I mean, this is a stance, which in some ways is not so actionable because it's almost a way of being. Like you said, it's a way of taking a certain intention into the way that you show up in a meeting. And also, I would add that that's kind of the version of this where you're not running holacracy or something like it. It basically needs to be modeled by someone like you, or it's not going to happen at all. Now, of course, when you create a system that allows everyone anywhere in the organization to process their tensions rapidly, reliably, into some step forward, that changes the game. Because all of a sudden, it's no longer something that you need to intentionally be holding and that you might lose at times, but you're going to be able to use or even rely on a structure. For example, the way a meeting is run, certain principles, the design of the meeting. So these are all aspects of holacracy that can help us rely less on kind of heroic individuals and make it almost a culture. Those were just some thoughts. Let's hear from Kanan. Hi, Kanan.
Hi. I was in the same room as Jane, so some of the thoughts might be similar, but the thing is, I believe in my case, it is my own unresolved tensions which basically come in the way of my perceiving or processing other people's tensions. It's something like selective retention, right? I tend to see the same tensions which I have myself in others. If others have other kinds of tensions, then I probably do not perceive them. Mm. And naturally, I get in the way of them.
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's almost like asking the voltage light in the cockpit of the airplane, hey, voltage light, are you noticing that we're getting low on fuel? And of course, the voltage light is going to say, what's fuel? What are you talking about, right? Because it's tuned into another field of information, which is only natural. But as soon as we then start competing for space, which is often what a meeting is, we all compete aggressively to get our tensions process, then it becomes really hard. And then you will, like you said, I think you will start tuning into only your own selective attentions and maybe dismissing others, etc. Mm. Yeah, thank you. Maybe one more. Let's hear from Christiana.
Hello.
Hi.
I guess what I wanted to say was I think I'm getting better at it, but the way I stand in the way of other people's being able to express their tensions is I can be forceful and I sense things quite quickly and within either a group or within what may be happening in outside of the group, and it's been proven over and over again that I tend to be more right than wrong. However, for me, it's learning to be let go of that once I've actually expressed it. Sometimes expressing it forcefully prevents other people from having the room to express them, or it may frighten them into having a contrary opinion. And secondly, for me to actually allow it, let it go. Once I've expressed it, and move on and listen to other people and allow other people to process it. So that's the way, through being present, that I am actually trying to be more sensitive to other people's opinions and not to to know when to let go.
Yes. Yeah, that resonates a lot. And it can be kind of hard when we need to work really hard individually to remember that or to set the intent or to be conscious, etc. And I think one of the real contributions that Brian has made is to pioneer at least one system where it's no longer fully reliant on everyone trying real hard or being super developed or being super conscious or always having a very clear intention to hold this space or to remind yourself that you're listening attentively, selectively, etc. And one thing that I picked up during the breakout group is that if you want to make everyone a sensor in an organization, I mean, it's in a way, it's like computing. I'm not sure if this metaphor helps for everyone, but if a computer can only do one calculation or one action at a time, or process one thing at a time, I think we call that serial processing. It means you do one thing and then the next and then the next, and that works. It can be a little bit slow. It can get a little bit clogged. And now that's similar to having, for example, one person in the team, maybe the leader, trying to process all the problems, trying to solve all of the team's problems heroically and saying, hey, I get what you're saying. I may agree or I may disagree. And in any case, I'm going to, you know, help you resolve it. Or maybe I'm just going to dismiss it and not process it at all. So that would be almost like serial processing. And now what Holacracy does is create an environment where things can be processed in parallel. So rather than one person being the bottleneck for processing everyone's stuff, now all of a sudden everyone on the team and even in the organization can start processing their stuff, their tensions in parallel as we go. And in a meeting, of course, it's not literally parallel because you would be taking turns, but it's almost similar and it's so much faster as well. Now, one thing that came up that I heard and that I quickly wanted to address before we move to the open discussion is that, of course, if you want to do that, if you want to be, if you want to make everyone a sensor in your organization, if you want to do parallel processing and basically almost unlock all of the consciousness that is available in the organization, then you need a shared context. You need not just a shared context, but a very clear context. So I think the example that I heard somewhere was that if you're in a meeting and everyone is putting their felt gaps or their tensions on the agenda, then of course you do need to know that you have a shared purpose somehow, that there is a shared context for the team. Otherwise, it's almost like being in a plane and you're saying, hey, the low voltage light is coming on, we're having a problem. And then in a separate plane, someone is saying in another plane, hey, we are low on fuel. And then in a third plane, I mean, there's no shared context. There's no way of flying a plane together that way. So you do need a shared context. And if you're interested in diving in a little deeper into how you could create such a system, so not just try to model it individually, but create a system where you can do it as a team or even as an organization, then you can look at Holacracy as a way of clarifying that shared context. And there are different elements or variables that you would clarify in Holacracy. And one is obviously the purpose of the organization. And then that breaks down into the purpose of the various circles or teams. So that would be very clear. And of course, that's your destination, where you're going. And then secondly, there would be a strategy, which is almost like your roadmap of, okay, if that's the destination, how are we going to get there? It's maybe like a flight plan. And then on top of that, you would clarify, you know, what are the different authorities? What can we expect of each other? What can I expect of you? What do you have the authority to decide? And in Holacracy, these are called roles and accountabilities. And everyone can have multiple roles. So these are not like functions or job titles necessarily. Now, these roles in particular give you great context for sensing tensions. As soon as you fill a role, it's like putting on a coat, you will start experiencing very specific gaps, very specific tensions. And because that role gives you a very clear context from which to start looking at the organization and at reality. And then finally, of course, there are actions, and there's lots of other stuff, but these are some of the ways in which holacracy can help an organization create very clear context for sensors. I know this is a little bit abstract and can also be somewhat overwhelming, which is also why I just want to say, if you've just taken some of the ideas or the stance of sensing attention, processing attention, and moving from one person doing that heroically for everyone to unlocking everyone's ability to be a sensor, that would be a lot, I think. And it's something that we'll return to in Module 7 with David Allen in a little bit more practical way, applied not so much to the organization as a whole, but just you. So with that, I want to wrap up this piece and move to the last bit, just allowing all of you to share your thoughts or continue your conversations. The recording of this call will be up in the next 24 hours as usual, and you may have seen that on the page for Module 3 on the website, there are quite a bit of other resources that can help you dig into holacracy, into some of Brian's other thinking. So if you're called to look at how does it work, what could you do practically, how could you run meetings, then holacracy should offer you some great ideas. And then finally, next week, we have the fourth module with Bill Torbert, where we're going to again make quite a shift and look at action logics, which is somewhat similar to worldviews, so it will very much be building on last week's call with Brett Thomas, and also at communication again, specific modes of communication. So I think you'll find it builds on that very much. And for now, I'm going to place us all into breakout groups for about 15 minutes or so, and then probably hear from a few of you if you still want to share before we wrap up. So when you hear the chime, just announce yourselves. And like I said, you can either continue the conversation or talk about anything else that you would want, because this is completely open-ended. So welcome back, everyone, for the last couple of minutes. I got to say, I always really love that space at the end. I noticed in the last course, the first time we ran it, that was really the space when relationships were kind of built. Of course, the breakout groups during the calls themselves help, but given that they're only 10 minutes or so and you only have a couple minutes and I always ask really kind of big questions, I can imagine that that can be a bit frustrating, and you kind of just, it's like dipping a toe into the swimming pool and then that's it, then we're pulled back. But it feels like every time we do this, and this is only the third time, relationships are kind of deepened. And what's particularly exciting for me is to see the kind of interaction now between graduates of the first course and kind of new agents, and to see how you're interacting with each other. I'd love to get some final words, some closings, if you feel so called, anything that you would want to share or add before we close this week's call. Again, just press 1. Before we go there, I also want to present that I think this module in particular was relatively abstract, and I can imagine that for some of you it might feel a bit overwhelming, particularly given the amount of resources that are also there, not just for this module, but for all of them. So I really want to share that a lot of those resources, I would suggest that you look at them as bonus resources that you may not even want to look at your first time around. And I know some of the graduates are probably going through this again in parts to take in some of the stuff that they haven't taken in or haven't been able to take in before. That's kind of part of the design of all this. It's almost too much to take in. And again, I would really say kind of do some cherry picking for each module, and the class recording and workbook, I would say, would be part of the at the top of the list. But otherwise, just remember that this is going to be available to you basically indefinitely. So don't feel that you have to go through all of the resources every week, because I can imagine you'll be very, very brain fried by the end of these couple of weeks. So that was just a gentle reminder. In the meantime, I will have time for maybe one or two closing thoughts. If everyone, anyone feels like sharing, just press one. So far, I'm not seeing any raised hands, which is fine by me. I love hearing your voice before closing, but if you feel like today is finished and we're ready to wrap up, then we can do that too. And in fact, I think that's what we're going to do. Oh, wait, let's hear from Tim before we do that. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how you doing, guys? Yeah, I guess one of the challenges that I'd like to put out there is, to some extent, it feels like week by week I'm talking to detached voices that show up every once in a while. And so it's hard because there's those 10-minute spots, and then we get some time at the end to really go a little bit deeper, but I'm still like I'm getting first names sometimes and a little bit, but I'm not making as deep a connection with people as I'd like to. I don't know if that would be a list of the people who are involved. I mean, I don't even know how many people are involved in this course at this point. So just a little bit more information maybe about who's here and what that's all looking like. And I think maybe helpful for me to be more deeply engaged in the community. So just a thought.
Well, Tim, because obviously we're all this is kind of obvious for us as we're running this week by week, and I can imagine it's not always as obvious when you're on the receiving end. And maybe, I mean, I'll give some thought to what you were saying. One thing that I can say now is that the first course, there were about 65 people that joined that, and now the second doing it right now, 30. About 100 agents or aspiring agents, a lot of the credit from the first call joining these. I'm going to wrap up its time, but if anyone feels similarly or has other thoughts about this, we're really open to hearing your thoughts. Obviously, we're kind of doing a best of what we've done in the first course. And we'd love to hear how particularly maybe new participants in this course are experiencing it, what is working out for you, also what's overwhelming. One of the things I want to do sometime soon is to reorganize some of the content on all the pages so that it's more obvious for all of you what's kind of, let's say, really the stuff that you really want to check out for each module and the stuff that's maybe a little bit more extra and bonus. Because I can imagine that that is now sometimes a little overwhelming. And, you know, if you have any other thoughts, please leave a comment on the website, on any of the pages. Maybe if it's in general about the course, you can leave the comment on the About the Course page. And, of course, you can always respond to any of the emails we send, and we'll try to get back as soon as possible. In the meantime, even though, like I said, today is a little bit foggy, for me anyway, in my head, generally I really enjoyed this call, and I'm really looking forward to next week's call with Module 4, Bill Torbert, Inquiry, Communication, Collaboration, and more good stuff. And for now, thanks for joining me. See you next week. I'll open up the line so we can all say goodbye, and then that's it for today. So.
Bye, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Great week. Have a great week.
Bye.